Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Amen. So, the special treat for our H4G fam, when you see these seats, you know that we're in for something different. So we have a panel today, guys. And this panel, let me tell you, first and foremost, how have you guys been enjoying the H4G panel for the summer series? Amen? Hasn't it been good? Amen? So this is our last one. We are closing out our Summer of Love series with two very special people. So one, I'm going to start with, is a young man by the name of Keyshawn Scott. We're not related, not that I know of, because we have the same last name. But we might be, who knows? And he is, let me tell you, a motivational speaker. This man is called to speak to people when it comes to godly relationships. He is a huge social media influencer. So for anyone out there who has, let me see if I can read one of his posts. I was on it the other day, and every other post I was like, yes, yes, oh my gosh, where has he been? And so this man of God is a husband and a father and comes from a place of just pure heart. You can tell that God is using him to really speak to our generation today when it comes to how we respond to each other and those who desire godly relationships. Amen. I'm going to find, when they get up here, I'll read one of their posts because you just have to see how amazing they are. And I'm going to share their social media handles so that you can follow them and be blessed. Because I'm telling you, you'll be at work one day and something, you'll be like, let me go on Instagram. And you'll see a post and be like, yes, I needed that today. Our other lovely speaker, her name is Miss Adara Butler. She is also an advocate for godly relationships. The both of them, let me not forget, are authors as well. And I believe they may have their books today. And if not, you can definitely get their books from their website. So Adara has been deemed the Esther of this generation. And you will see when she comes and speaks again from her point of view and shares her story about where God has taken her. And they're both on some amazing journeys, and we're going to talk about their journeys today. So at this time, H4G, can you please put your hands together for our lovely speakers on our Fireside Chat panel, which is Ms. Adara Butler and Keyshawn Scott. Amen? That if you want to, I'm telling you, there are going to be some really good, thank you so much, Sister Andrew. There are going to be some really good golden nuggets coming out of this, and I think it's so worth sharing. So, first, let's see, and I think Ryan is actually going to put their photo from, like, the post from Instagram. Can you put that up there? By chance, that has their handle so people can see it. And if you can't see it, we'll just yell it out. So, first and foremost, the topic for the summer series has been summer love. And we know that love is a universal language that everyone can relate to because they have love, they've been loved, experienced what it means to just not be loved. And you guys come from such pure places when you speak of your experiences. And being so prominent for our generation today and reaching, if you don't mind sharing with us, let's see if you guys know off the top of your head, how many people on social media do you reach right now? If you had to take a rough estimate.
Ladies first.
Currently it's about 85,000.
85,000 people. Do you know how many hearts she's touching? Amazing. What about you?
Mine is, I think it's 73,000 on Instagram. But don't, it's more than that.
Because, exactly,
because
yeah.
Those people share what we put up. So it's triple that. That can reach my idea.
So there's power. So
it is true because the network spans beyond Instagram and Facebook, but that is the number.
And Facebook is analytics too. Yeah. So you tell, like, sometimes you reach 2 million, some weeks you'll reach 1 million, but it depends on how people share your stuff and how, you know, far and how wide you go.
So I really wanted everyone to get that because the ministry that's on their life, what they're doing is a ministry. Each and every person here has a gift that is ultimately a ministry that God is using to speak to someone. And that person is then sharing that information to someone else, and it is so powerful. So keep that in mind because we have a lot of gifts that are on the inside of us, and I really want this to be something that inspires everyone. So we're going to talk about two things today, the journey and the call. So the journey, I love looking up definitions according to Webster's to see how they deem it versus what God tends to give me. And it's hilarious because our God tends to always bring it back to a place where you're just like, oh God, thank you. And so life is often referred to as a journey. And a journey is defined as the act of traveling from one place to another. And so, since we were doing ladies first, Adar, you can answer first, and then Keyshawn, feel free to jump in, okay? So a journey is defined as the act of traveling from one place to another, which inherently tells us that for every journey, you must depart from somewhere in order to arrive at where you need to go. And we know this, right, because we've seen it in the Bible so many times. We've seen it with Moses. We've seen it with Jonah. We've seen it with Jesus. So looking back on your journey, where did God have you depart from in your life to bring you to where you are right now?
Oh, gosh. it's such a long story, but I'll make a long story short. I grew up in church my entire life. Both my parents are pastors, so I was no stranger to the things of God. And you can be in church, but the church not be in you. And you can go Sunday after Sunday, sit under pastors and teaching, and you really not be absorbing the word of God for yourself. And so what happens is God will take you out of an environment and allow you to kind of be wayward and go into your own environment just to show you how much you need him. And ultimately, our lives are one big journey back to communion with him through Jesus Christ. So for me, it's been a long process of what people call finding yourself. But how many know you really can't find yourself until you find God? So for me, my journey has been finding the love of God first, then finding myself, and then having proper relationships and love with other people. In a nutshell, there's a long book version of it, which I do have. And I want to actually bless a young lady here. Anyone 17, 18 years old here today of that age group? Anyone? Okay, good. I have a book for her because that's really, that age is the age where everything kind of started for me, where I thought I was finding myself and I was grown and I'm doing this thing called life and I don't need my parents' advice and all that stuff. And just if I knew now what I knew back then, it could have gone a lot different, you know. I would have clung to church and the Bible a lot more because no matter what the world says, God's word is what's really right. Amen. So for me, that's been the journey.
Keyshawn, what about you?
Thank you. My journey started, I would say, 2011 when I would say my ex left me. That was the start of something beautiful because at times, you try to pick up what God tells you to put down. And when you try to pick it up, it burns. So finding God, I mean, I know of God. You know, I wasn't brought up in the church, but, you know, my mother, she's from Trinidad. So, you know, she loved God and Trinidad. But she loves God. And she always, you know, embedded God in my mind and in my soul and in my spirit. And I was like, okay, thank you for that, but I don't really need that right now. Going through that journey, I had a few friends. None of them really believed in God. But for some weird reason, a lot of them said, hey, why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you listen to James Fortune, Marvin Sapp? And I was like, who are these people? I know about Jay-Z. I know about these other people. But, you didn't really know about, you know, these unholy people who get you through a breakup or something devastating. So going through our whole journey, you know, I found God, I went to church, and one thing my pastor said when she was, she said run, because it's a race and you got to run, because a lot of people is going to be against you, and I had to leave back a lot of friends behind in order to get where I had to go, changing behaviors, changing atmospheres, changing what you, because a breakup, it changes your appetite, you can't eat, you can't sleep, so a lot of those things, you know, help me get to where I need to be. You know, you have to be broken, like you said, we're all pure, but we have to be broken in order to get that way in some kind of sense. And that's like a nutshell.
Amen. You see why you need to follow them on social media? So you touched on something, Keyshawn, that ties into another question that I had. Every journey, right, requires us to take something with us and leave something behind. More times than not, we have exactly what we need, but we don't even realize it. One prime example is with Moses. He had his moment where he was speaking to God, and God was speaking to him through the burning bush and said, Moses, what's in your hand? And he was like, a rod. Not realizing that that same rod that he used prior to him doing the things of God was to help him guide sheep would be the same rod that God would put his power through to free the people. And so, thinking of your journey and thinking back to when you were about, you know, you're making these moves, you're noticing, okay, God's putting you through what I like to call the threshing season, where he's separating the wheat from the tares, and you have some friends you have to leave behind, and it's like, okay, you know you need to move forward. What was it that you had that you didn't realize you had that God ended up using to get you through this journey? And what were some of the, along this journey with having that, what were things that you maybe didn't want to give up that you had to give up to do it? We're
going to
dig deep today, guys, if you don't mind.
I would say that what I took was my voice. The reason why I say it's my voice is because I love to talk, I love to speak. And social media wasn't something that came overnight. I had to motivate my own self, and in turn, it motivated everybody else. So with blessing myself, trying to, you know, keep myself whole, trying to keep myself, you know, from crying, from broken, and saying these things on social media, a lot of people was feeling the same exact way. So now, for the journey, you don't know that you're not the only person going through it. And what I had to leave behind was my old me. I always tell my friends that when you're leaving a relationship, right, the person who you left has one image of you, and that's the image that you left them. You can be saved. You can go through a whole process. You can be the greatest person that you are right now, sitting down in this seat. I've changed, but to them, that's still the old me. They will always say, that's the old you. I know him. He ain't changed. He's the same person. What I did was I made a list of stuff that I want to carry into my new season. I said, you know what? I want more of God. I want to work out. I want to eat better. I want to do this. I want to do certain things to align myself. Because, you know, you can choose your path, but God will direct it. So I had to choose all of those things. I said, God, you know, have my way. And in doing so, I met my beautiful wife, and my life has been a blessing. It doesn't really matter what the old me was. I'm a new creature. And when I realized that, man, my life turned around for the better. And I appreciate that. You know, by taking my courage and my voice with me, you know, it was a beautiful journey.
You heard that? He said he made a list. God said, write the vision, make it plain. That's been ringing in my ears for like the past month. And anyone that I speak to, I've been saying that too. It's so clear. God desires to speak to us, and he speaks to us through his word, and the same power that's in his word when he framed that this earth is in us, and so we need to tap into that. Dara, same question.
Okay, so kind of similar but a little different. I had to realize I always had an identity, and I didn't have to look for that in other people. You know, I often share how low self-esteem doesn't just manifest in people that never had a father, or you know, they never grew up with parents, you could have both parents in the home, and you don't really know who you are and whose you are. You look to build yourself based on what other people's opinions are, based on social patterns or what's in, what's hip now. And I had to realize that I am who God always said I was, no matter what people said I was, no matter what people projected I should be. Do you know how you want to measure up to what people think you should be, or you're so pretty and you should do this and you should do that? And it's like, I never really wanted to do that, but because it made other people happy, you know, I became a habitual people pleaser. And that ties into what I had to let go. I had to really focus on what was pleasing to God and not pleasing to friends. And I lost a lot of friends when I decided to walk away from the fast life and partying and turning up and all that. And it was a very lonely walk, you know, because when you pursue righteousness, people start falling away because it's the very unpopular road. When you really start living for God and you're serious about it and you decide, I'm going to for real do this right, people will be like, oh my gosh, you've changed. Like, now you're so holier than now. You're so saved. It's like, no, it's not even that. I just really want to make God happy with my life. And there's just certain things that I can't do. And so realizing that I always had the identity helped me to kind of separate from other people's identity, because people, and that's another thing, they put on for social media and it really be a whole different thing. So really realizing that I am who I am in God, and my identity and my foundation was solid there, really helped me. And, you know, it was hard at first. Like, you have, everybody's your friend when you're close with the promoters, and you could get people into the spot, and, you know, you could get in VIP, and you had to hook up to the latest parties out of state and all that. And then when you pop on the scene, like, hey, I'm saved now, God is good, posting scriptures on your page, and all your, like, club pictures are deleted, and now your blouses are higher, and your skirts are down to the floor. They're like, wait a minute, like, what club did you join? It's like, I didn't join the club. I just really found God for myself, and it's like, I'm on a whole different playing field now. And if you really know that God knows, you want to be here too, but, you know, the Bible talks about walking the road less traveled, the narrow road. Like, it says it like that for a reason. You know, living for God is really, it's in and hip when people only go to a certain place. It's in and hip until you have to really die to your old ways, until you have to really seriously pursue righteousness. Then it becomes, oh no, I don't want to do that. Like, I love God but to a limit. You know, I want to be able to still have what I have and do what I want to do. And really realizing this walk, you have to completely die to self. You really, really do. Like, there's no me when it's fully about Christ. Like, it's all about him, you know? So I guess for me, it was the realizing my strength and not having to stand on people, but really stand on the word of God, because it was a very lonely period. And I thank God for that time now, because I'm in a period of transition where I'm yet again kind of losing friends, quote unquote, because when you get engaged, you really learn who your real friends are. Don't get into a happy relationship and really see who's for you. So I'm in that place again, but I've been here before, so it's like I kind of already know how this is going to end up. So, yeah.
Amen. You're transitioning very well into my next question, too. First off, they didn't know what questions were going to be asked. They were like, so, what are we talking about? It's love, you know, we're your relationship gurus. I said, we're going to do something a little different. I gave them a hint. I said, it's going to pretty much be about your experience. And I feel oftentimes we see so many people who are successful, and it's great to see where they are, but we often don't hear about how they got there. People don't spend too much time talking about the process, and I'm so passionate about trying to understand this process, because I feel that each and every person is experiencing their own journey, and you are on that journey, and you're like, okay, how did I get here? Where am I going? I've never been here before. So what advice, this is another good one, guys, can you give to those who may be stuck on their own personal journey? There are times when I personally don't feel like I'm making any progress with anything that I'm doing. It feels like I'm in quicksand. Has anyone been there before? So how do we get from there? Like, how did you think of a time on your journey, or maybe it happens multiple times, where you just feel stuck? Like, how do you get unstuck when you're in that place?
A lot of times, I found personally, we feel stuck based on what we see other people have, or our perception of what other people have. Like, for a long time, I felt like I was behind because I had friends that were married at a certain age, and I had friends that had this at a certain age, and I didn't have that. And I'm realizing a lot of them settled for the stuff they had, you know, or they didn't do it God's way, and they ran into trouble later. And so and social media plays a huge part in this, because anybody can upload a picture and put a fancy caption as if they're so happy, and then it'd be hell on wheels when they're going home. And so I had to stop comparing one person's 140 characters tweet or their picture to my real reality, like in real life. And so a lot of times, just changing your perception on being stuck and realizing, okay, it's not the end until God says it's the end. So if he hasn't said it's not the end, it's not the end. So not allowing myself to let the enemy play tricks on my mind and make me start comparing, because comparing opens the door to coveting, you know, where you desire what someone else has, and the Bible tells us not to covet anybody's anything. So just really realizing that, and the Bible talks about keeping your mind stayed on him. That encompasses, you know, your thoughts, that encompasses your feelings, that encompasses what you look at. And quite frankly, that meant for me not spending so much time on social media, because everything is a wedding page. Everything is a this page and that page. And it's like, it gets so, it's so easy for you to start feeling like you're missing out on something, because that's all you're feeding yourself. That's all you see. That's all that's in, like, your view, you know. So really tapping into the Word of God, and I really advocate for everyone to have a physical Bible that you can write in, cry over, like highlight, scribble, whatever the case may be. Really having that Word and reading it out loud. There's a healing that comes when you can read the Word of God out loud and let it really feed your soul. Having the app is good too. I'm not, you know, throwing shade at having the app, but there's just something about having your own physical Bible where the Lord can speak to you through the pages of his Word, because, right, the Lord, his voice is found in his Word, you know. So I advocate for that. And anytime you really feel like, man, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, get into the Word, you know. Seek the Lord about what's my next step. I guarantee you he'll speak to you if you open up that Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you on what to read.
Everybody's hands work today, right? Your hands work.
Yes. Amen.
Can we get another round of applause for her, please?
Yes,
before, I want to say something before I answer the question. Yeah, getting a real Bible is really good, because we could highlight certain things and go back to it. Because there's stuff that I had in my old Bible that's from 2010. And then you go back to it, and I had it, and it says, God, please take me out of this place, because I think I was living with my parents at that time. I just wanted to get out. Because my mother is from Trinidad, so you know how that is already. I don't got to explain licks to you. But when you have that, and I went back to it like a couple of days ago, and I looked at it, I was like, wow, you know, look where God took me from. Because of all the notes that I wrote down on the side, so I just wanted to mention that's a good point. I'm not back on the other one. So I would say the first step is stand still if you're feeling stuck. Because when you're in quicksand, you start moving, don't you? You go down a little bit deeper, right? So I would say the first thing to do is stand still. Stop moving. Because God says wait for a reason. When you wait, you got to get your mind right. You got to be clear. You got to be focused. You got to be alert. So I would say just stand still. The second step, I'll probably say forgive. Forgive yourself or forgive whoever hurt you. Since we're talking about relationship, the reason why you're probably stuck is maybe because you're probably thinking about going back with your ex. You're thinking about what you've done wrong, what they've done wrong. You're looking for closure. You're looking for some kind of explanation on, you know, what did you do good, why you're not a good enough person. Stand still and just relax. Take time to breathe. Because when you're all over the place, that's when you're going to start suffocating yourself. And then that's when emotional suicide becomes, you know, your downfall. So I would say just relax and stand still. Figure out where you want to go. Write it down. Write down steps on where you want to go. Say, I had short and long-term goals. When I was in my breakup and I was stuck, I felt like it was the end of the world. I felt like my life was over. And men do cry, as much as the men in here probably say they don't cry. My pillow was soaked with tears. Because in my mind, I thought, if she's not going to leave me, I'm a macho man, I'm good. Like, she ain't going to go nowhere. And then when she leaves, it's like, wow, what do I do now? I'm gone. Because you spent four or five years with one person, and then one day they decide that they don't want to be with you anymore. Now you got to spend the rest of your life alone. So I would say write down everything to short-term and long-term goals. Like, this is where I want to be in 6 months. You know, I want to be physically fit. I want to be mentally prepared. I want to move out. I want to, and actually that, and you never know because through your darkest times, it could be your brightest moment because that's when you want to prove to that person, and I'm not saying it's all that good, but sometimes you want to prove to the person that you did something amazing with or without them. So that's when I wrote my first book. When I wrote my first book, it's because I wanted to succeed at something to show you that I accomplished this. So it made me feel good. So out of that, you know, I created a book. I started searching for God. Like, who is Jesus? Like, this man is cool. Like, people think he's not, but he really is. He walked on water. Who walks on water? Like, I could barely walk across the street sometimes. But you have to figure out where you stand. Stop looking at out the outside. Like you said, something about identity, remember? Mm-hmm. You said identity. You got to find out who you are. Everybody else is different. Don't compare yourself to the next person. Their breakthrough may be quicker than your breakthrough, depending on how you prepare for it. Because people think that you just have to wait for things for you to be unstuck. No, there's a preparation in there. There's steps. You have to set boundaries. You have to have standards. You have to have expectations. And you got to figure out what you did wrong. Because I wasn't 100% right in a relationship. I took 85% of the responsibility. Yeah, the other 50% was us. I took 85% of the responsibility because as a man, I have to say, you know what, this is not right. I'm not doing a good job. So what do I need to do in order to make it right? But at the end of the day, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't saved, so I'm happy that it didn't work. I'm happy that I didn't go back because I found something better. Amen. So that's much better now.
I want to add, awesome.
Yes, wait, can we clap again? Thank you, guys. Like, they're giving you some really good info.
He mentioned writing, you know, he said what I wanted to do in 6 months, what I wanted to do in 12 months. Also, I have a little thing, I've posted it before, I'll share it again so you guys can see it. I have an encouragement wall. Actually, I had to dismantle it because I'm moving, so I had to take everything down. But basically, I put a wall up of encouraging things from the Bible, affirmations that when I feel I'm having a bad day or things not going so much as planned, I just go to that wall and start reciting, you know. It can be something as simple as, girl, you fly. It can be something as simple as, God said you're the apple of his eye. God said, you know, I made a whole wall for those things because in the times that you feel stuck, you need an encouraging word, right? You need someone to speak over you, and sometimes you don't have a pastor available. Your pastor's on vacation. Who's going to speak a word into you? You have to be able to speak a word into yourself. And the way you do that is through the word of God. So I would encourage, it doesn't have to be something big and fancy where you put a whole bunch of stuff on the wall. I use post-its that have scriptures and encouraging words. I color coordinate them. So if I'm looking for something that speaks to me about, you know, if I'm feeling not so pretty that day, or you know how we are as women, we go through that time, those are color-coded pink, right? If I'm financially feeling a certain way or things are not going as planned, those are in green. Those are the ones that say God will supply all my needs, right? If it was something relationship-wise, which praise God, I haven't had those in a very long time. I have a wonderful fiance who is here. Hey, boo. those would be blue. You know, if I was feeling like, man, things are not really going so well between us, I would put affirmations or encouraging things about the relationship in blue. So it's color-coordinated. So and believe it or not, those things really work. It may seem like this is stupid for me to put a whole bunch of post-its on my wall, but I promise you, when you really get like in a situation in a bind and you need like something to just lift you up, I promise you that'll help you. So doing that as well definitely helps when you're feeling like stuck or when you feel like I don't know where to turn to, or I have nobody to turn to. Because let's be honest, sometimes you're the strong one for everybody, right? Sometimes you're that friend that everyone comes to when things are falling apart. Who is gonna be that for me? You have to be able to be that for you.
Amen. These are like really, 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 really good golden nuggets to take with us. So thinking back to, again, the journey is something that ends up being a place of revelation. Would you agree with that? And oftentimes, it's on that journey where we find out what we're called to do. And so I want to talk a little bit about the call. I believe that God has called each and every one of us to fulfill a particular purpose. But yet so many of us go through life feeling unfulfilled because we fall into one of these categories. It's either we do not know or we're uncertain of what we've been called to do, or we know we have a call in life, but we're like, I'm not accepting this call. Did you know that you were called to do what you're doing right now? This is a loaded question, so I'm going to say the questions first, and if you need me to repeat anything, I will. Did you know that you were called to do what you're doing right now? How did you identify the call that was on your life? So how did you know, yep, this is it, I'm supposed to be doing this? Did God reveal signs and wonders, as he talks about in his Bible? And what advice can you give to us who are trying to figure it out for themselves? Loaded, right?
I want the congregation to say it with me. Ladies first.
Okay, guys, let's say it. Ladies first.
Tackling it question by question. So did I always know I was called? Yes. From the time I was a child, I knew that I was going to be a preacher, I knew that I was going to be a minister. Was that what I wanted? When I was little, yes. But I got old and I thought, didn't think that was cool. So I ran from it. But I did always know that I was supposed to be a preacher. I used to take my Barbie dolls and baptize them. And let them, you know, just have, they'd be baptized, they'd be slain, cover them with my towel. Like, I was just, like, I was that child that was so churchy because that's all I knew, right? I thank God for parents that have me in church, because there's kids that get mixed up in all kinds of crazy stuff because they don't have solid foundation in the home. So I thank God for my parents having me in church, and it's comical, but that was my childhood, you know? So yes, I always knew that was going to be what I wanted, but like I said, it wasn't really cool. No girl in their teenage years wants to be walking around prophesying and preaching and laying hands on people in the schoolyard. Like, that's just not what people do, you know? So as I got older, I decided, okay, when I'm of age and I'm grown, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what's cool. I want to be like everyone else, because I always kind of had that feeling of being different, but I had to learn that being different is exactly what God needs me for. I have to stand out from everybody else, and I can't be the one that just goes along with the crowd. And over time, God began to show me just why. You know, like, my friends would tell you, I was always the mother of the group in the club. Like, all right, I'll be the designated driver. Like, I just always was the one that had some sort of sense. Even we were in the most stupid of situations. I'm talking about, like, dumb stuff, you know? So I just always was the one that would kind of be the voice of reason, or kind of be the one to keep some sort of moral order when we were just doing crazy stuff, you know? So he was showing me, like, you can run, but you can only go so far. When I have my hand on you, you know what's right from wrong. Amen. You know what's right from wrong, so why are you doing that? You know, so it got to a place where I just got tired of running from it, when I realized no matter how far I run, I'm called to preach. And I think there was a fear, one, you know, there's always the women should preach foolishness. There's always the women should be quiet and not have an opinion. So it was that, coupled with the fact that, like I said, I am the daughter of two prominent ministers. So I didn't want to live in their shadow. That's just the plain truth of it. I didn't want to be my dad. If I was going to preach, I was going to do something totally different than what he did. And I began to realize when the Holy Spirit would uncover things to me that you're not going to ever be him. So why are you tripping? You know, we tend to have a fear before there's even something to worry about or be fearful of, you know? And it's funny now because we tag team on a lot of things, and it's like, I was afraid of something that's become so awesome and amazing. He's never forced me into ministry. I don't know why I was afraid of that. He's never tried to control the way that I minister. He's always given me space to be who God has called me to be. So the enemy allowed me to be fearful of what God would have me do before I was even doing it. So for me, it was getting to a place of really resting in the call and not allowing the fear of the unknown, I don't know how it's going to go, to dictate my obedience. You know, because you're not supposed to know how it's going to go. If you knew how it was going to go, you wouldn't need God. If you knew the end from the beginning, you would be God, and you're not. You know, so it's important when God is calling you and you feel like tugging, and man, I feel like God is telling me to go sell sandwiches around the corner. Okay, you don't know who needs that sandwich, because here's the thing, God never sends you, well, oftentimes he sends you to people that are just like you. He sends you to people that are way different from you and can only receive from you. So while you're worried about what people over here say, and you're worried about how it looks, there's someone who is far off that, and just they're really hungry for what God has birthed through you. So you have to think about that too, like, who is missing out on what they need from God because of my disobedience and my arrogance or my pride or my insecurity? You have to get past all that when God's called you for something. So that's really what it, in a nutshell, was for me, just getting comfortable in who God said he wanted me to be and what he wanted me to do, not comparing it to anybody else and realizing that I'm called to be a trailblazer and that's okay.
Amen. Amen.
I love how we have two different perspectives on things. Like, you grew up in the church, I wasn't. So everybody gets, like, a little bit of everything. That's the beautiful part of it. I would say, man, God's a stalker. I say that because he caught me, like, in 2012. I mean, in 2006, and then he moved away. And I didn't give him my number. He called me again. And it keeps on happening. And then I don't know. But I would say I never knew what my calling was or what a calling was. I think it was just me wanting to succeed. I think me wanting to succeed was something of a calling when I was younger. The reason why is that I never really seen anything bright for my life when I was growing up. I'm an African-American immigrant from Trinidad. When I first got here, I had no papers. So we know how that process is. I couldn't go to college. Even when I did really good in school, and even when I got a scholarship to go away to school, I couldn't go because I didn't have a piece of paper that said that I couldn't get financial aid. And my father got sick, and my mother, she was working like three jobs because she's a home healthcare nurse. If you know how that is, so now you have you. She come home late, and it was no time in my life to know that I was called for anything. In my mind, I was from Canarsie, and I moved to Flatbush. So at that point, I just wanted to get money or either make my mother and my father proud. And my grandfather passed away like in 2007, 2008. He said to me, Keyshawn, you got to be successful. You know, you got to do something amazing for your family. And I'm like, how? You know, my life looked like a shipwreck. You know, we live in this one-bedroom basement. I didn't have my own room until I was about 23 years old. You know, I'm 30 now. And so that was 7 years ago, I had my first room, my first privacy. I told my friends coming in my house, sitting on my couch while I'm sleeping, and I'm waking up to their faces. So that was like kind of like, I wanted something for my own. As time passed, I started going to church with my friends in Queens. And, you know, here, sometimes in church, you're just listening. And like, why is people screaming? Why is this person shaking? Why is this, you know, it's like, this is awkward to me. But when I started going to Bible study, you know, and I met OG. He's a guy in the church, a youth pastor. And then they started talking about calling, and I'm like, maybe my urge to succeed, maybe what I love to do, maybe my goals, these are my calling. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what, let me start writing, let me start speaking, and let me start doing these things that I always wanted to do. And as my life started to transform, God started to show up and show off in my life. And that was the beauty of it. It was hard and it was stressful. And I had to leave, you know, I left God behind, and like, partying, I was doing that, and off and on, and then it wasn't until the breakup, maybe like I spoke about before, until God really grabbed my attention. That's when you put your hands up and you say, you know what, you got it, what do you want me to do, how do you want me to serve, I'm here, I'm all yours, don't get me wrong, it's going to be ups and downs, it's going to be time that you're not agreeing with God, you're like, God, that's not for me, but at the end of the day, I can honestly and openly say right now that he's 100% correct in everything. I'm talking about, I seen money show up out of nowhere. And I'm big kind of money, $20, $10. You know, when I like owed my mother money and then I opened the drawer and I was like, oh snap, here's the $5 that, you know, that I spent on a sandwich. Like, how did it appear here? And the smallest things make you cry. And that's when I realized, the smallest things. It made you, raise your hand if you know what a susu is. Yeah, everybody should raise your hand. Everybody know what a susu is. Like $50, $100 in there. So we had a susu and I grabbed, you know what a susu is?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I took $20 to buy something to eat, and out of nowhere, my mother, she called, she said, you ain't paid a susu yet. I was like, no, I ain't paid a susu yet because I'm looking for your $20. She don't know that. I walk into the place now, and I'm calling friends who live like on the same route if they have money. Before you know it, the money's in the envelope. And I'm like, how is this possible? And I started crying right then and there. And I remember that day as clear. And at that moment, God shows you a piece of him in little increments to show you that, you know what, you need to come back, and you need to start believing a little bit more so I can show you that you can be something bigger than what we are now. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you have to self-motivate yourself. Instagram or Facebook shut off one day. What happened? You still got to motivate yourself. We're not there no more. You can't go on a page anymore. So you have to prepare for that. So that's what I'll say. Let's stop right.
Amen. Oh, they're so good with their responses. So we are out of time, but we do, this is going to be our last question. If you can try to answer as quickly as you can. We ask our panelists this at the end of every panel. And what can we do, Hungry for God, as a faith community to impact our community the way that, you know, you guys have taken what it is that God's given you as a gift through social media to be able to be a blessing to other people from what you're saying, how you're motivating them, to just sharing your stories of what you experience. How can places like us, how can other churches make an impact in our community in a place where people often now it's just like, oh, there's a church in every block.
The one advantage that you guys as a church, as a community have that we don't have is you're able to physically touch people. We're just words on a screen, right? So like you said, God forbid, like Instagram was going crazy yesterday in the morning. I was like, wait, I can't post what's going on. You guys have the opportunity to 24/7 make yourselves available in some shape or form. We don't have that to physically be, hey, if you need someone to talk to, you can come see me at this place, or we're offering this at this place, you know? I believe you really want to capture someone. The way you do it is not with first what you say, it's with what you give and what you do, right? So there's no way for me to preach about love to a homeless person if I don't have something to tangibly, hey, I love you, here's this. Hey, God loves you, here's this. You understand? Like, you need to be able to put action behind the words that you're saying. So I would say, just by doing things like this, having an open forum for people in the community, advertise. By all means, use us to advertise when you have things. Take advantage of the connections as you have people major on social media. You have something going on for Hungry of God, hey, Adara, can you share this with, you know, with your event, with your following base, with the people that support you? Let them know we're here. Come by, you know. Little things like that, just making people know, hey, if I come by there, I'm not going to be judged for how I look. I'm not going to have to feel like I have to do something more than what I am. I can just come and be ministered to and met by the love of God. So I would say, keep doing this. Keep doing things on the local level, because you never know, someone right outside that door could be just hungry for God, hungry for a real relevant word. I'm not talking about a whole bunch of churchy words and jargon. I'm talking about, this is what God did for you when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and this is the advantage you have in having a relationship with him. You win more souls with, like I said, what you give than the words that you speak. Because anyone who get up and say, God said, and all that stuff, like, what does that mean when I leave the church? What does that mean when my bills aren't paid and I'm $100 short? Can you give that to me? Can you loan that to me? Can you help me out? So I would say, you have the advantage of really being able to go out into the community, and I advocate for that, you know. I'm grateful to be married to a wonderful pastor, because now I have the opportunity to really physically be there and touch people, because I get tired of just being words on the screen. Sometimes it gets very lonely, you know. Everyone's DMing and messaging you, and it's like, sometimes I just want to hug somebody. I want to physically tell them about the love of Christ, you know. So I would say, in my opinion, I'm no expert, I say that all the time, just continue on the local level. And like I said, if you guys need anything, use your resources. God's connected us for a reason. If you need someone to help you get the word out there, I'm here.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen. I love how she put in the plug, hungry for God. I would say adapt. Because I'm actually speaking on Renella about it. Adapt to social media. You know, like stuff like this. Post this up and put this on YouTube. Put this on, because then people are going to want to know where this is at. You know, use advertise on Facebook, advertise on Instagram, use us, use your network. But there's a lot of people. Let's say it's 20 people on each side. You know, ask everybody, you know, to openly commit to posting 2-3 times a week, you know, about the experience, or take pictures. Or certain things that happen, just make it go viral. You know, because it takes like one thing that to do. That's what I'm sorry. Like, I'm speaking to her about myself. It takes one thing to make it go viral. All you need is one powerful video and you're gone. Because I remember I put up one video and it hit like what, a couple million. One. And that was it. And in my mind, when I was at home, you know, thinking about it, like, you know, should I do this or should I not? You know, should I do this or not? Because sometimes you're ashamed of doing certain things. I used to hate my voice. I thought I sounded like a pelican. You know, I hated my voice, but sometimes you have to start doing stuff that you're uncomfortable doing. And I always tell people, come out of your comfort zone. A lot of churches, they love to be comfortable. I'm good right now. I'm good coming to work. I'm good coming to church, coming to work, doing what I'm doing, and it's going on with my life. Instead of having church inside, do church outside. Amen. Just put the blood. Just do something outrageous that you're uncomfortable doing. But when you're done doing that, it's like, oh, I did it. I made it. You know? For a basketball player, I know a lot of guys probably play basketball, right? When you're playing basketball on the court and you don't want to take that last shot with the ball's in your hand, you're going to have to do something. You're going to throw it out of bounds. You throw it out of bounds, you're in trouble. But you got to at least shoot the ball. Make an attempt. If it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But you got to practice in order for it to go in. And then you've been practicing a lot. You've been saved for too long. And haven't really did nothing miraculous. 10, 20 years, and you still haven't went outside on every block, just knocked on the door and say, hi, how you doing? You can give out free food. Everybody has at least $5 in their pocket. Buy cookies. Have a cookie sale or something outside. You can do anything. You don't even need money. People think that you need money. You don't really need money. You don't need anything. I was passing by Flushing the other day, and the church was outside, and they was worshiping outside. And I was actually in an Uber, and then I stopped, and I said, let me get out here. You know, and then I'll get another one sometime. And I wanted to ask them, what are you guys doing? Oh, it's too high in the church. Because it was a Tuesday, one of those days, it was 91 degrees. And they said it was too hot outside. So we decided to do it inside. I was like, oh, wow, that's nice. But you don't have to wait until it's too hot. You don't got to wait until it's hot in order for you to go outside. You could do when it's cool outside. You don't need the AC. I'm saying you do need the AC. But you don't need the AC. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do in order to feed everybody, you know, to love everybody. I always tell people, I run a community center in Williamsburg, right? And I always tell, like, I have, like, routine meetings weekly when I go in. And I always tell my staff, I say, you know what, guys? We, in this building, and I have, like, other sites that I manage, and I tell people, we work through love. That's it. We work through love. They be looking at me because people don't even know me. I said we work through love. The reason why is because if we love the kids, if we love the people, the community who comes inside, then we can show them that we're genuine and they will love what we do. If you don't love these people, you don't need to be here. Go elsewhere. We don't need you no more. I only need love. I only need people who's going to work. I need people who's hungry for God. This was my plug. You know, I'm hungry for God. I'm going to do. That's all we need. We don't need nobody else that's going to sit back and watch things be done. That's it. Just love. I will say that.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. We're going to really quickly, if everyone could just quickly stand and stretch out your hand. We want to just pray for you too really quick. Is that okay? We're going to do a quick prayer. And let me stand. Okay. You can or you can sit. So all of us are going to stretch our hands towards you. We're going to say a quick prayer for you. And then if you don't mind, once I end the prayer, if you could tag team back and just pray over us real quick. Is that cool? Amen. Okay.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.